We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Grace, what did you order? I'm always interested to see what people order when they go out.
Well, yeah, this is the thing, because we were sitting there looking at the menu and they have all the standard stuff like fish and chips, burger, chicken with lemon, that kind of thing. And then there was this thing that I never heard of, burrata, B-U-R-A-T-T-A, I think. And it was burrata with cherry tomatoes and almonds. And I was like, I don't know what this is. But I've gotten to the point now where when I go out to eat, I want to try things that I've never tried before, because I've had a million burgers. I've had a million steaks. I've had a million spaghetti bolognese or whatever the fuck. I know what they're like. I've had the best. I've had the worst. There's not a huge amount of variation. But now when I go out, I like to try things that I've never had before. Because if you order them at a restaurant, you're probably going to get them prepared as well as they can be by like a professional trained chef or whatever. So you're going to get it as good as it can be, you know? So I tried a burrata, and a burrata, I think, I don't even know what it means, but what I got was a mozzarella salad, basically two balls of mozzarella. And yeah, it wasn't that nice, to be honest.
I think the difference is it's like meant to be gooey inside. So it's it's like an egg. Like if you cut it, it should like spread.
It was a bit like that. It was a ball of cheese with the consistency of kind of a poached egg, I guess. And in a salad.
And kind of tasteless.
Did you get any like bread with it?
I got a slice of sourdough with it.
Oh, I mean,
brilliant.
Or toast.
Not enough.
Or toast to most people.
Yeah. Wasn't mad about it, but I don't regret my decision.
That's it. You went out on a limb. It didn't work out for you.
I know. But sometimes I do that, and it, you know, I have things that blow my mind. Like, I never thought I would like that. Like, going to a vegetarian restaurant or whatever and just trying, like, halloumi wrapped in aubergine with like red tomato, sun-dried tomato pesto or something. Something that years ago I would have turned my head, you know, and just got sick at the thought of ordering that when there's burgers and chips or whatever the fuck I could have gotten. Now I'm like, fuck it. You know, I want to try these new things. And that's how my story ends.
I always try and do that when I go abroad. I try and, like, you know, taste the local cuisine. Even if that doesn't work out sometimes. When I was in Portugal, they're mad for seafood, like, down south.
Oh, yeah.
And I was, like, getting all this seafood.
Sardines.
Like, octopus, like, cod, all that kind of stuff. And then there was, like, squid. Like, little squids, you know? Not, like,
baby octopus. Ones.
Like, these little squids. Yeah. And I was like, is there any way to eat these? And they were like, no, just eat them. And I was like, okay. And I put one in my mouth and I bit it. And I was like, oh, you know, like the taste is fine, but it's really hard to eat. It was like there was like this little piece of plastic in it or something. And I was like, maybe it's just the bone. I don't know. I ate like two or three like that. But it was like, honestly, it was like eating like a pen or something. And so after a while, I was like, fuck this. So I started kind of almost eating them like wings or something, you know, where you'd like pull it between your teeth and the meat would come off, and I just left the bit behind. And I was talking to someone after, and I was like, they're really hard to eat. And they were like, but you don't eat the whole thing. And I was like, why don't they fucking tell you this? I was basically eating like it's skeleton like, but no one tells you this.
Do they tell you when they give you a basket of wings that they say don't eat the bones?
But yeah, maybe
someone must do that, like people who come to Europe and never have had chicken wings or whatever, and they order chicken wings and they just eat them whole.
Imagine looking across the restaurant and seeing this idiot eating an entire chicken wing and trying to chew it like that was me.
Yeah, just like they're really, really tasty and there's great flavor on the outside, but when you get to the middle, like it nearly chokes you to death. But I suppose the overall experience is pretty good.
Yeah, just a word of warning. It's good to be adventurous, but know what you're eating.
Yeah, because I kind of try and do the adventurous part with, like, when you go to a nice pizza place or a place that does nice pizzas, because, you know, there's so many standard, like, European or Americanized toppings, but you can get some real, like, obscure ones. Like, even things like, you know, like rocket and stuff on pizza is rarer than most people would get and stuff. But I saw a banana on pizza. Did you ever see that?
I've seen it. I've heard of it, I should say.
Yeah. Apparently it's quite nice, but you'd have to be brave, because if you're going out for dinner and you're spending 20 quid on a pizza and it's got banana on it and it doesn't work, like, you'd probably ruin that year, you know, the entire year.
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure.
A bit chuffed myself though, because I made egg fried rice today, which sounds pretty simple, but it's a bit more complex. Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried making it?
I've made it 100 times, different ways. Yeah, like, I've fucked it up. I've made amazing egg fried rice. I've made ordinary egg fried rice with fucking everything in it. Just plain egg fried rice. Just rice, yeah, and egg, and maybe some soy sauce. Like, sometimes that's all I want.
Yeah, I've made it a few times. Whatever way I was taught to make it, God knows if it's the right way, but it's pretty tasty.
Yeah, it's true. It's there's a lot of variety to it, and like I said, I made it like the first time. I've made rice and I've made eggs in the past, but never together.
You made eggs,
yeah, basically scrambled eggs.
I thought you meant you just popped out a few.
Oh yes, you know, I'm very fertile, I'll have you know. But the one thing I noticed is that the amount of salt that you'd have in like egg fried rice from a Chinese place or from a restaurant, it was definitely lacking in that flavor. But I mean, it's probably much better off to have a few of bits of salt in dishes like that. But yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Try it at home. Highly recommend.
That's it. Do it yourself. In this day and age, it costs you an arm and a leg to get egg fried rice outside. So you may as well.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Will we talk about football?
Yeah. If we have to.
Rice all day.
Sure, football is not as exciting as food, you know?
No,
it's food not. Is constantly satisfying or surprising. Football, like, we all know Liverpool are going to win the quadruple. So
it's true. Liverpool winning the league this year, it's a bit like a plain ham sandwich, you know. It's happening. It's there. People have to just accept that it's a sandwich, you know. That's it.
Yeah. It's like watching what's that Bruce Willis movie, The Sixth Sense, when you know what happens in the end, you know. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah,
but
I only watched that for the first time a couple of weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you shocked?
No.
I knew it from the start.
To be fair, it was kind of fun watching it, knowing what happens and being like,
yeah,
seeing how they try to hide it. But like, there were a few times it's so obvious to me watching it, when like they're screaming it in your face, and then at the end they do these flashbacks where Bruce Willis is like, and it flashes back to all these scenes during the movie where it's been like he wasn't being spoken to or whatever the fuck. And you're just like, how the fuck do people not see this coming?
Yeah. I mean, I think I was like 10 when I first saw it. And it was like, it was the first twist I ever saw.
Yeah.
Or at least understood. And it blew my mind.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I guess that's what's good about it, is it's a very simple twist. They're hidden much to it. And it's like, oh, I can't believe he was dead the whole time. Sorry if anyone's listening.
What?
Everyone's
turned off.
I was surprised at how little horror there was in it, because I was watching it expecting a scary ghost story or like
a
monster.
There is one.
There was a few
one big
scary.
Shock bit, isn't it? Like under the duvet.
There's definitely a couple in the tent, I think it is.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely a couple of scenes that are like, but most of it is a family drama kind of thing. which I, you know, it was grand.
It hit you in the feels a little bit.
It did, you know. There's a scene at the end where the kid is in the car with his mother and tells her how he can see dead people and how he's spoken to her dead mother. It was very good.
Yeah, it's the wholesome content you want from a film, really.
Yeah, I mean, M. Night Shyamalan. He had a good start.
Yeah, his most like recent Ole. Films are good too.
Yeah, and like Ole, he turned it around a little bit. Redeemed himself.
I like the comparison. I like it.
Yeah. But
these days, not very highly thought of, I think.
No. It's amazing, isn't it? The amount of managers that have been sacked from the league this year and Ollie's not been considered for any one.
Yeah, why is that?
That's a good point.
Maybe he doesn't want to return to management, but the more likely, no one wants the worst Premier League manager in history as their manager.
That can't be it.
Yikes.
Is he the worst?
By far.
Yeah.
Statistically, yes.
Well, look at what he had to work with, though.
Statistically, yes.
Sure, yeah, that's true. Sure, he had no one to work with. He only had Ronaldo, you know, Bruno Fernandes.
Pasta.
Anthony Martial.
Yeah, he only had like the most expensive players in every position.
Yeah.
That's all.
Sure, yeah. I'd struggle.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Imagine, like, what kind of motivation could you do when you're just like, look, yeah, I know. We're all stuck in this together. We all are employed by Manchester United. I know. We just have to try our best. It's not going to work, but we have to try. Like, that's been the last 10 years of motivational speeches by United players and managers. It's not very inspiring.
Yeah, I really can't think of another team that nosedived so hard. Because the middle of last season, cool. They were doing well. And, like...
You really can't think of another team that nosedived.
Nope. Not well, to that
Leicester
extent.
This year.
Not so suddenly. Like, they were like, flying it. They were, like, second in the league. And then they just bombed towards the end of the season and just never recovered. And I, like, people say it was Ronaldo's fault. It happened towards the end of last season. I don't know.
There was no planning. There was no forethought. It's spontaneous Varane. Football.
Get in, yeah. Ronaldo. Get in, Sancho.
They signed the best players available.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But talking of like tanking, which United might be doing, there's no benefit to tank in the English football system, right? Because you get relegated. There's no benefit. But in other sports, and like this weekend, it's the NFL draft. And the way that works is the worst team in the NFL gets the first pick of like the top prospect.
That'd be funny if Norwich got Mbappe.
That's the thing. Do you think like would it actually make the Premier League more competitive if that kind of system was in place? It's very hard to do it because it doesn't translate because what would the championship and stuff become obsolete? But yeah. Do you think that kind of system would work now? If City or Liverpool win the league, they'd get like the 32nd worst player statistically.
So can I just, I kind of don't understand the draft fully. So let's say, let's forget the bottom three teams. Let's say it was whoever places 17th or whatever gets the first draft. So let's just say, for argument's sake, it's Burnley. So next season, would they be able to just pick up Salah? Would he have no say in it, or is it certain players of a certain age, or how does
it work? So from the NFL, they take from the college football leagues. So it's the people graduating or in college in America. So they can't take them from another team. You have to do like a transfer or a trade. But what Burnley could do is Burnley could have the pick of hundreds and hundreds of like under 21 stars that haven't yet signed for a football team. And they could pick like Kylian Mbappe before he goes to a club.
Right. And the player doesn't have a say in it?
No,
No, they're pretty happy with it because they get like a lot of money for it. That's the kind of model. Yeah. So like the other way of looking at it too is that like if City win the league this year, they are kind of handicapped by not getting near the top 10 players at all.
Yeah. Okay. I think it would definitely make it more competitive because I suppose a lot of it is like they'd be getting like the best academy players, you know? They could pick up a Trent Alexander-Arnold that could stay with them for the next 10 years. I'm saying Trent Alexander-Arnold like 4 years ago. But, you know, they could have someone with them then for the next 5 or 6 years, I'm guessing. Is that how it works?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
It would make it more competitive. Like you said, I don't know how well it would translate, but...
Yeah, you'd have to change the model because, like, would it be the top... If it's the top 20 players from the championship, sure, that's not really brilliant either, is it? I mean, I'm sure they'd be handy for the bottom half clubs, but are City really going to benefit from picking up some young lad from, I don't know, Blackburn? Maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, like, I mean, Liverpool picked up that Carvalho, you know, even someone like that. Like, if Burnley got Carvalho, it probably would help them next season. So it's an interesting idea. I'm kind of surprised it hasn't really been talked about before because it's such a big thing in the US.
You know? It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, there's enough Americanized, Sky Sports doing their best to try and turn football into the more American model, I guess.
Yeah, because they're saying now that they're going to look at, or is it the English government are going to look at changing the structure of English football. I mean, maybe that's what they'll do. Bring in a draft.
I guess, do American football teams, they don't have the equivalent of youth academies.
No.
They just rely on college football or whatever, players going through that system.
That's it. And there's big connections, really. I mean, if you're a really big college football team in the same state as a, you know, American football team, it's likely they're going to draft from there.
Oh, yeah. I've seen Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, there you go. See? But, like, that's the thing is that, like, you'd have to get rid of all of the under 23 and under 18 leagues and create kind of new teams so that there's a distinction, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's doable, but I don't know. But in terms of competitiveness, interestingly, in terms of American football, American Super Bowl winners. In the last 10 Super Bowls, there's been 8 unique winners out of 20 teams, so like 2 teams per final. There's been 12 unique teams, right? That seems pretty good, right? Nearly a new winner nearly every year.
Yeah.
If you compare that to the Premier League over the last 10 years, there's been 5 unique winners, so a good bit less. And of the top 2, because you can't really have the teams in finals, so I just went by top 2. 7 out of 20. We've only had 7 unique teams in the top 2 in the last 10 years. Is that competitive?
They should shut down football.
Yeah, pretty much. If Leicester hadn't won the league, football would have been the exact same since the 90s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like that.
Yeah, pretty much the fans of the teams that keep winning it, really, and they have the most fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny then because I always think that, but then there seems like West Ham that are kind of always in and around, but then they get fucking relegated. So it's like, is it the same teams all the time? I mean, we're looking at Everton getting relegated now. They're one of the only teams to have never been relegated. So, I think...
Who's the other?
Arsenal. Well, is there 3 or 4?
Depends on how you... Yeah, it depends. If it's like the Premier League or the Premiership or whatever, then there's differences. But
no, I think just league, the top league. I think Liverpool, Arsenal, Everton and Chelsea have never been relegated. And maybe Man United. No, Man United were. So
Chelsea have definitely been relegated. And I think Liverpool have been.
There's a lot of teams in the 70s and 80s that like Chelsea were in like Division 2. Yeah.
I'll have a little look. But maybe I'll have a little look.
Pretty much Arsenal. You can just nail Arsenal to every stat, really.
Arsenal in a century club.
Yeah. Literally Arsenal top of nearly every list, even like alphabetically. So like, you know, no contest.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, yes. So
I think
the list is Man United, Arsenal, Tottenham, Liverpool, Everton, Chelsea. But it says they haven't been relegated from the top division for decades. So it probably
that's the Premier League.
It is Premier League, yeah. So never mind.
Spurs are a shambles.
Actually, yeah. I think it says last top flight relegation for Arsenal was 1912. So.
And like, so, none of us lived then, so yo-yo I kind of doubt that that happened.
Yo-yo
club. Biggest fucking yo-yo in the world.
There's some string on a yo-yo.
Galactical. So we've lost Norwich. Norwich are gone, and I found it quite sweet that the second that Fulham got promoted, the next week Fulham got relegated. It's just, you know, there has to be a balance in the universe. They can't coexist.
You mean Norwich got relegated?
Yeah, sorry. Who did I say?
Oh, Fulham.
Well, they will. So you can crop that for 12 months' time.
Would you fancy Mitrovic to do any good next season?
I fancied him at the wrong time, and he got 42 goals this year.
I know, but maybe he's just a championship player.
He's the greatest championship player to ever live.
Yeah,
probably, but one of the worst Premier League players to ever live.
But it kind of shows. It kind of shows you that it. This is like a Palace fact, but remember Glenn Murray for Palace and played for Brighton as well too. But he scored 33 goals in the year we got promoted, and that was like, that was a record breaking year, but it hadn't been broken for like decades previously to that, and it hadn't been since. You know, we've been in the Premier League like 7-8 years or whatever it is now, or 7 or 8 seasons, and yeah, staggering, like 40 odd goals is incredible, really, isn't it, for any season?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he'll probably get like 6 next season.
Well, he's going straight into my fantasy football draft team.
That's what I was wondering. He's your number one pick.
Well, I have to. Do you know, you have to stick to your guns, Adrian.
You got
to
back yourself.
You got to back yourself. That's it. Into corners sometimes.
And who's the fucking Fulham boss at the minute?
Not Scott Parker, because he went to Bournemouth. It is... Oh, he used to be the West Brom manager. I can't remember his name.
Tony Pauls.
Not the fucking...
Sam Allardyce.
I'll find him there.
Yeah, we gotta do a research. Oh, Marco Silva.
Oh, yeah.
He was guy. West Brom, wasn't he?
He was Watford and Everton.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can just take a guess that anyone has been Watford, to be honest.
Who has? Incredible.
Yeah, well, he's working wonders at Fulham now. And Bournemouth are probably going to go up as well, I think, are they?
Well... Yes, but it's very, very interesting. The second last game of the season is Bournemouth Forest, who are second versus third. So that will determine it, I'd imagine.
Do you know what I was looking at as well was everyone saying what a great job Wayne Rooney did. They, even with their points deduction, they'd still only be like 15th or something. Like if they had those points, they wouldn't be top six or anything. So I don't know where everyone is getting this fucking idea that Wayne Rooney is the tits. Like he's not that amazing.
Yeah, yeah. If Frank Lampard took Derby from 6th to 6th, Wayne Rooney took Derby from relegation to relegation. So,
that's it. He's the man steering the ship.
So he's in line for the United job then.
Basically. Do you know what? If this Ten Hag thing doesn't work out, they'll look at him.
They will. They actually will. Absolutely. All he has to do is not relegate another team.
Not get relegated again.
Yeah, that's all he has to do. That's all he has to do now. And
he
will get the United job in 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they had their eyes on Carrick for all the wrong reasons, you know, and he did nothing. And he was getting eyed up. So, yeah, Wayne Rooney's United. And that's going to be insufferable for about 3 weeks until everyone realizes that he's not a good player.
Oh, yeah, they'll fucking... He'll be appointed and they'll put like four past Norwich and then they'll win like the Europa Conference League group without conceding a goal or something. And it'll be the end of November. They'll be fifth and people will be saying Man United are back on track.
Yeah.
And I bet Ten Hag next season, I bet people will find his football boring.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be like Van Gaal. Back to Van Gaal. And about 3 months in, I'll say before Christmas, people will be saying he's a wrong man. Wrong man for the job.
Sure, they're already saying he's the wrong man. He hasn't even taken the job yet.
So toxic, isn't it? There's no hope.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ralph Ragnick working with Austria, like, what? So, but he's still being the consultant for United. Like, how the fuck does that work?
Doesn't.
No. Money straight into his own pocket.
Yeah. He's just taking the United thing as a side gig now, sure. Like, joke. Totally disrespectful. I'd actually, if I was a Man United on the board or something, I'd be fucking fuming. I'd just get rid of him for the last few games of the season.
Like, oh, yeah.
Disrespect, like.
Yes. Yeah. They're being squeezed dry. Like,
mugged off.
Completely. Like, how they don't see it, I don't know.
Sometimes you can't see what's right in front of our eyes, you know?
Yeah.
Very astute. Yeah.
I was just going to talk about Liverpool because I want to. Is that cool. Too boring?
I mean, we've done, what, coming on to like 60 podcasts of purely Liverpool and Arsenal, so why not, like...
I just don't know if this is a good or a bad thing to say based on what we were saying earlier. I don't think it's likely that Liverpool will win the quadruple. I mean, I think City will win the league. I'm saying it now, okay? I'm not deluded, but I think City will win the league, but I think Liverpool are probably favourites for the Champions League and probably favourites for the FA Cup. So I'll just say it now. A treble is fine. Okay? We're happy with a treble. So just wanted to put that out there. It's on the record. I'll be happy with the treble.
Yeah, I mean, you should be, really.
That's it. Because we're not going to win the quadruple and everyone's going to be like, fucking Liverpool, you bottled it, you're shit. It's like we were never favourites for the league. Since fucking November, City have been favourites for the league. It's amazing that it's even a competition at this point. But I think City will still do it. I think we'll probably draw a game and it'll still be like within 3 points, but I don't think we'll ever overtake them. So we'll just have to settle for the Champions League and the FA Cup and the League Cup.
I kind of disagree a little bit about the dropping points. I actually think that even though City seem like they're not going to, I think they put their stickiest games. Like, I think this is this, and I feel like I've said this every podcast this year, but it feels like this is the toughest patch now, whereas Liverpool have done the hard work in the first leg. It's not going to be easy against Villarreal, obviously, but they have a 2-goal lead. City were all over Real, and they've given themselves a mountain to climb, or, you know, a tough challenge now in the week in Madrid. And then they have Newcastle, followed by Wolves. And they're two kind of bogey teams for Pep Guardiola in recent years. So we will see.
Liverpool have Spurs, and I think we'll draw to Spurs.
But Spurs, they shouldn't even be in consideration. They're barely a football team, really, are they?
Conte is doing wonders. And they've got some good players.
He's not Harry now. Kane. He's not now. They haven't had a shot on target past about 7 months.
And do you think that this iron curtain that Liverpool put up, do you think that Harry Kane,
his little flicks and tricks that ultimately lead to nothing are going to win the game.
I think it'll be a draw. I think they'll draw. And I don't see City losing then, because City would have to lose a game for us to go on and win. And maybe they'll draw to like West Ham or like you said, Wolves or something. But I'm just being realistic, lads. I'm still, look, I'll always dream. And that's what Klopp has given us. He's allowed us to dream. Trophies, baby.
Trophies and contract extensions.
Trophies coming out our arse.
In a way, Liverpool are being mugged off in much the way United were, except it's happening much quicker. You know, it happened at United after 20 years of winning the league, 13 league titles or something. Now it's happening at Liverpool after, what, two seasons? Without even that much?
What is?
You know, you're just getting, you're kind of getting mugged off all this money, like.
By whom?
You know, staff and players and agents.
He didn't get a pay increase.
Well, you know, he got an extra few years, and that's money guaranteed to him.
Listen, the guy will get a statue.
Will he get a statue? He'll get a plaque.
He's brought us back to the glory days. Divock Origi will get a plaque, for God's sake.
Yeah,
men's jacks.
It's gonna be when the naming rights come up, it's gonna be the Divock Origi Arena. Like everyone knows that. He loves playing Everton, by the way.
Oh, ridiculous! Just when you go back and you look at his biggest moments for Liverpool, they're probably the biggest moments of the last 30 years.
Dare I say he's the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer of this generation? Like, will he be managing Liverpool in 20 years' time?
I think you're onto something. Yeah,
yeah. I hope it works out for him.
He's been a more how do I word this? He has been, well, I'll just say it. He's been a better striker than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can agree with that. Yeah.
Solskjaer had that one little moment, one little toe poke.
Mm-hmm. He is living off 2 seconds in his whole career.
Ball was going in anyway, for fuck's sake.
It was. Yeah. It was a nanny moment, except he was onside.
Yeah. Nanny moment.
He's an onside nanny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they gave him the reins to the whole fucking club. Imagine nanny managing United in a few years.
Yeah. Fucking nosedive straight into the ground.
Nanny actually better than Solskjaer, because there was a year there, nanny was the best player in the league. I'd say like 2010, 2011. He was him and Van Persie, like.
Yeah, he was very good. He was always just in Ronaldo's shadow, really, wasn't he?
That's it. When
Ronaldo left, he was great.
Yeah, but I think people were still going, he's no Ronaldo, though.
I know.
Yeah, classic. If he was at a different club at the same time, things might have been different, but. Oh, well.
I have a couple of what the fuck is the word? Hot takes, but I've kind of something a bit different as well. It's based on a hot take, so I might just get some hot takes out of the way, and then I just want to talk about that one hot take and see what you guys think.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Now, a lot of these are Liverpool kind of based, just because of. That's what I was looking up this week. So I apologize in advance. Let's start off with the one that's not Liverpool based. Ralf Hasenhüttl is shite.
Oh, AD.
I mean, at this point, you're running out of legs to stand on if you're defending him, aren't you? Because, I'd question why you would defend him at this point. Like, what's he doing to make anyone stand by him? Because
honestly.
He's a nothing manager to me. Like, he, not to say he's completely incompetent, but he's just facing a crowd. Like, what he's done with Southampton hasn't been stunning and hasn't been abysmal, even though he regularly is humiliated. They're one of the many. That's it.
Yeah, they're one of the teams where, if the newly promoted teams weren't continuously being poor or so poor, or then that freak team like Everton or Leeds this year, that are, you know, out of sorts, that Southampton would be right down there with them. Regardless of whether Southampton are wealthy or whether they're like a feeder club, they've had a lot of really great players, haven't they, go to other clubs. Regardless of that, or regardless of what actual facilities are there, Southampton have been beaten by 5 goals or more on 21 occasions in their history, in their entire history. 7 of those times have been under him. Like, entire history. He gets pummeled, and it's this whole thing of like, well, it's a philosophy. Yeah, well, his philosophy is dreadful. And
it's a bit like the Bielsa thing. Like, they just they're not able to lose. Like, when they lose, they get fucking hammered. Like,
yeah. And they've basically got Ronan O'Gara fucking taking free kicks for them, and that's basically saving them a good few points across every season now.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's very true. Take Ward-Prowse out of there and they're probably relegated.
That's a good point, actually, because so much of what he does is from set pieces, and his philosophy does not involve set pieces. Like, you can't base your life around, we'll just get a good set piece and we'll whip it in. You know? Like, if that's his philosophy, Jesus Christ, what the fuck? Take one piece out of that puzzle and the whole thing's come crashing down. And I mean, it has That's come it. Crashing down many times anyway.
That's it.
All right.
Like, we're all in agreement,
I think.
Yeah. But yeah.
We all agree he's just a bit shit. Okay. This is one. Thiago is better than Modric.
Oh,
fuck no.
Fuck no.
Thiago is fantastic.
He's never been better than Modric. Never even close.
Modric is top tier. Modric is the example.
Modric is a Ballon d'Or winner. Top tier. Like, he's top. Even still, you know, well, maybe not even still, but he certainly was for almost his whole career one of the best midfielders in the world. And what he's done, he's the only player now who I would rank along with Iniesta and Xavi. Like, him, he's the only player on their level that I've seen play.
Yeah.
Like, Thiago fucking couldn't even get into the Spain team on the bench.
Hmm. Yeah. I think Thiago had a rough transition to English football. He's playing really, really well now. But Modric, wherever he's played, at any level, internationally, club, has just been the best player. So,
Modric is regularly the best player in the biggest possible games. So, Thiago's, you know, he's a great young player himself. And he may have a great career for himself, but, you know.
He's like
And that's prime now, Adrian, you know? That's
I know.
You know, players can play till they're 50 now.
Prime Spanish beef. I thought it was fucking a red hot take when I saw it, and I don't think it can be taken too seriously. But here is a serious one. I'm going to read this one verbatim. I guess I can say this one came from our very own S. Mannix. And it reads, in all seriousness, if Liverpool win the quadruple, it still isn't as impressive as United winning the treble in 99, in my opinion. 99 was a harder challenge. Who wants to take that one?
I guess you could argue, that United were not a good team back then and didn't deserve it. And for them to actually pull it off was, you know, a huge shock. It was a bit like Leicester winning the league. So it's memorable for that reason, in a way, like it shouldn't have happened. But Liverpool, they're one of the top three teams in the world, and have been for a while now. So they're kind of expected. You'd expect them to be there. And for them to win it, you'd just be like, meh. So I would agree that Man United pulling off the heist of the century, you know, it was more memorable because they didn't really deserve it. And we all know they didn't deserve it. And they don't deserve to call themselves treble winners. But they, you know, something clicked for them on that night. The dice, they rolled the dice and it came up, you know, their number 21. So good for them. It's a great novelty in football history, I would call it.
Yeah, it's basically pub quiz stuff, isn't it?
It's pub quiz stuff.
the one thing that jumped out for me from that, very, very good point. Like I said earlier, inaccurate nonetheless. But the first thing I was like looking to challenge, I was like, was it actually more difficult then than it is now? Because straight away I was like, well, there wasn't the same Goliaths in terms of financial power back then as there is now. You know, I think that Liverpool, like, even winning the league when Man City are a part of it is an incredible feat, because Man City can throw everything at it and there's no one really that can compete with that wealth. Well, not now anyway. But then I looked at like the league table for that season and they only won it by a point on Arsenal, and Chelsea with like 3 points behind. So arguably that's more competitive than the Premier League is now this year. You know, there's only two teams in it where there's three teams in it that year. Champions League 2, yeah, different format though, not like for like. But ultimately, what it boiled down to for me is that if I saw a prize fighter, if I saw a boxer with one belt, I'd say, fair play. If I saw them with two, I'd say, well, he's obviously the best. And I think that's what it comes down to when you're comparing three trophies to four trophies in one season, like more is better. Like, so therefore, I think that wins the argument.
I want to give my two cents here, because I actually think if Liverpool even win a treble, it's more impressive than the United one because of the competition, because Man City have all the resources. They have the best manager, the best players, the most money. So and not just them, but there's other teams like PSG and Real Madrid and all these, you know, teams with fucking Saudi money and sponsored by entire countries. So I think for Liverpool, who are just owned by some Yanks, fair enough, not spending the most money and doing it what I would say the right way to beat City at anything, to be honest, is as impressive as United, whatever, beating the odds in 99 when the money wasn't there and other teams didn't have all those resources. So that's my one. Anyway, this one we've actually covered, but I just want to cover it one more time because it has a value in it this time. Okay. If Liverpool get an offer of 100 million this summer for Mo Salah, they should sell.
Yeah, definitely. If they got half that for him, they should be delighted.
Way over that.
$50 million
for Salah.
Yeah, well, 100 million, I think, is a definite. Yeah, you just take it because I think that, especially as a Liverpool fan, and I think, you know, people that have followed football in the last few years should know, gotta take the cash when it's there. Like Suarez and Coutinho would have been the same way. Liverpool would be like, we cannot afford to lose them, but like you definitely could, and you built on it. So that's how I'd be viewing it. Plus, it's not like Salah is 22. He's getting old.
And like, let's be honest, he hasn't been much good this year anyway.
I mean, he's still top scorer though. People keep saying this.
Like
during Ramadan as well.
And he was missing for however many games as well. And he's still his top scorer and he's still playing shit, so.
Yeah, it's a weak year. You know, it's like when Green Book won Best Pitcher at the Oscars, like Do you know what I mean?
He's top of goals and assists. You know, that's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, I mean, you'd expect someone who's top of the goals and assist chart to make more of a contribution to his team than he's making.
But maybe he doesn't need to. Maybe, you know, the 35 goal contributions he's had out of the 85 Liverpool have had is substantial enough.
No, I don't
look
agree.
Look at the facts. Kieran spitting facts.
Sorry. I only talking facts, apparently. So, you know, I got to give him. But I know. He's definitely not. I know, maybe the novelty's worn off. Maybe we're just so used to Salah being the best person on the planet and the best player as well as the best person that it's just not as impressive anymore.
Yeah, he's certainly been the best player in the league for all the time that De Bruyne's been injured.
Let's remember that in Kevin De Bruyne's biggest game ever, he went off the pitch crying. When Salah's biggest ever game, he lifted the trophy.
But, was that his biggest game, or was it the game where Sadio Mane sent him crashing out of the African Cup Nations?
I mean, it's one of those debates that will go on through generations.
Yeah, I mean, Mane has a much better team as well, to be fair. But anyway, right. we're all in agreement, so 100 million and he's out the door. That's fair.
Yeah.
50.
Okay. I like this one, okay? So this one I think we could chat a bit about because I'm curious even what you'd think. But a Premier League 11 would be a rest of the world 11. So 11 best players in the Premier League against the 11 best players outside of the Premier League in any other league.
Let me think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can take a second. We can always cut a bit if we need to. But because I wrote down a couple of 11s, right? If maybe that would help, right? So just for example, a Premier League 11, you can swap in players. I put Ederson in goal, Trent, Van Dijk, Diaz, and Cancelo. And there's a couple of others you could put in there, Tierney, Rudiger, but that's the back four. De Bruyne, Kante, Bernardo Silva, midfield, something like that. You could put in Rice, Fabinho, a few others. And up front, I put Salah, Son, and Kane. So that was kind of what I came up with.
Naturally. I don't know now. I'm just thinking of some names here now. Like,
okay, all right.
Outside the league, let's say you have, up front, fucking Mbappe and Lewandowski.
Yeah.
You could have fucking Benzema.
You could have Benzema, Neymar, Messi.
And that's just up front. Then in midfield, you could have
Modric,
Kimmich. Is he a right back or a centre midfielder these days? I don't know.
I think he's centre midfield, yeah.
Okay, maybe like Casemiro, something like that. Modric, Casemiro, Kimmich. And then like the defence.
Verratti, yeah.
Yeah.
And Donnarumma. Even like Hernandez, maybe from
Milan.
Neuer. Yeah.
So like backline in Neuer. Ooh, fence is a bit tricky here now. Marquinhos.
I had him, Koulibaly, Chiellini, Hakimi right back. Left back you've got Alphonso Davies. Like it's a pretty fucking good team no matter which way you skip.
Yeah, I think the rest of the world would beat them. I think they're better.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think ultimately as well, it's like Liverpool and City, would they beat everyone else in Europe? And they wouldn't beat everyone every time.
I look at the Premier League players and I think, are they big game players though? The way Lewandowski and Mbappe and Benzema, are they big game players like them? Like those modern
different grade,
lads,
isn't it?
These lads have done everything 100 times and... As good as Bernardo Silva is, like, you know, is he the man when the chips are down? Are you looking at Bernardo Silva, this fucking cruiserweight?
Yeah.
There is something weird about the midfield that, like, because I was trying to think of, like, the best Premier League midfield. And, okay, you've got De Bruyne, obviously. Everyone else is kind of, like, Kante. I know Kante used to be outstanding.
He's not good anymore.
No, I think Fabinho is amazing, but, like, probably no better than, like, the likes of Busquets was. Mm. Like, Declan Rice? Are you looking at Declan Rice as one of the best midfielders in the country? Like, it's not great.
No.
Whereas they have an abundance of midfield, really. I just thought defensively they were a bit shit. Like is Marquinhos one of the best defenders? You could probably pick five Premier League defenders that are better than any other defender in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, Rudiger, Van Dijk, Diaz, fucking Laporte is still pretty good.
I'm struggling. I'm struggling to think of that many good fullbacks around the world other than Hakimi.
Yeah.
Jesus, who else? Like,
I have Hakimi, Carvajal, and Cuadrado were the three that came up when I.
Yeah, Jesus, that's not great either.
A lot of the best fullbacks are in the Premier League for sure.
For sure, you could pick again. You probably pick four or five left backs: Robertson, Cancelo, Tierney, Mitchell.
Yes, agreed. Joe Ward. Mixing it up a tiny bit, but in terms of who would manage them, I'd say Pep for the Premier League team and Ancelotti for the rest of the world team, right? That'd be the
Ancelotti's just a plug and play manager, like.
Yeah, but he's basically, what did he win today with
Madrid? Yeah.
He's won the top five leagues in Europe now. Title.
Yeah, it is amazing how I thought he did shocking at Everton.
Mm.
But it turns out that team was much worse than we imagined.
God, yeah.
James Rodriguez is the reason that Everton are in the place they are now.
James Rodriguez.
In many ways, you're right, yeah.
He just left and everything changed.
Yeah.
Did he just have one good World Cup and that was it, pretty much?
He had one good goal.
Yeah.
He had a great World Cup, in fairness. He had a great World Cup.
Colombia and Colombian players are just fucking mad, really, aren't they? Even like Diaz, when he comes in, he's just like, well, I'm going to win the game or I'll take everyone else with me.
Yeah, so, he's on
cocaine.
Is that Colombia?
Sure.
Or is it Cuba?
Colombia.
No, they're all the same.
Yeah, sure. Everyone south of the equator.
I like, if you gave me a world map and said draw the equator, I wouldn't have a fucking sausage. I probably would put it through Mexico. Do you know what? I can actually, I have a world map here.
It'd be in the middle of the map, you fucking fool.
It's not far away from Mexico. And actually, it does go through Colombia. So there's plenty egg on my face there now.
Maps are inaccurate. They make Europe or the place that they're drawn look far bigger than what it is.
Mm. Mm.
Like Africa is very disproportionate to its actual true size.
Have you heard about the coastline paradox, or the coastline problem, I think it might be called? Where
rings the bell, yeah.
Actually measuring the coastline of a country is almost impossible. Like, that you can't really do it because if you look at a country, all the cliffs, even if you think of places around Ireland, if you got a linked a string and wanted to line it around the coast of Ireland to measure the length of the coastline, forget about tides going in or out, but just even thinking about these places that, like, crevices that go in, like little headlands in and out, little coves and stuff. It's like, how detailed do you make it? Because if you want to measure, like, every little piece of the rock that goes in, like, how big do you have to, what's the cutoff point for how big it is that you can just, like, skip over it and be like, we don't really need to measure in there, you know, if you know what I mean? Where, like, if you measured it so precisely, if you didn't at the end took that string and spread it out the thing, it would probably go from fucking here to Mars. Like,
yeah.
No, that's fair.
Yes, yeah. That's a fair point. Like, I wanted to make this point.
Yeah, I don't envy. Like, you know, when they went off to like voyages to the New World, and they like were aiming for India or whatever the it was reportedly that they were doing, and when they found the Americas, like the poor fuckers that had to be like, well, you're drawing a map of where we're going. We don't know where it is, mm-hmm. And then you're like, well, I've slept on this boat now for about 3 months, so mm-hmm. I'd say we're just around the corner. You know, how do you put that into context, or how do you like? Anyway, that's what keeps me up at night.
Yeah, I'm distracted now by this map of the world. I'm looking at all the places that I hear of, but could never place them. You know,
find Uruguay.
Oh fuck. Oh, got it.
Yeah,
guys, it's small enough, isn't it?
Is to have won, what is it, 2 World Cups or 1 World Cup?
Definitely one anyway.
Yeah, 3 million people.
Yeah, they're such fuckers. They were like, let's just set up this world championship, because they knew they had the best team.
and they had the other teams that competed in that tournament came like via ship. Fucking imagine traveling by ship from Europe. And then playing a bunch of lads who knew exactly what they wanted to do. Yeah, well, yeah. Fair play to them. We should do the same.
Yeah, imagine setting up like a World Cup just to win it, and then eventually you never win it again, and like your neighbors win most of them. You'd be fucking spitting.
Mm-hmm. Surrounded by it, yeah. But then, aren't they bordered by Argentina and Brazil?
It looks like it, yeah.
Yeah, so just literally being pummeled on both sides. Basically being, yeah, gangbanged by World Cups.
Yeah, sorry, Uruguay.
Oh, well.
Those were my hot takes anyway. I like that. I like that question of the World 11 and the Premier League 11. I might actually throw that into the snake pit, because it's. I'd like to see what everyone's like teams would be.
Mm.
Yeah. James Ward-Prowse will get a mention, I'm sure.
Yeah, someone's going to put Varane in theirs as well. Or like, they'll all put Ronaldo up front instead of Kane, I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. He's still got it.
Premier League 11 is just Man United.
Yeah. 10 goals a season.
Yeah. McTominay, future star.
You know, honestly, Ronaldo's done better than I expected.
I was more worried when he came in. I thought he'd do better.
Yeah, no, I thought he completely finished. Like, and this was like a holiday for him.
Well, I mean, if United had played in any way decent, he'd have gotten probably another 10 goals. To be honest,
yeah, it's like the team around him is shocking. But like, he's doing his job. He does Ronaldo things. Everyone else, like, get the finger out. Like,
because you know, Ronaldo and Messi made big moves. And Ronaldo, you could kind of, like we're saying there, it's not actually been a bad season for him individually. Messi's only scored 4 goals for PSG this year. That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, but again, we flagged that when he moved, because we were like, everything in Barcelona has been made for him to thrive. So when you go into a PSG team that's just full of superstars and full of, you know, everyone just trying to fucking make themselves the superstar, he was never gonna do that well. Now, 4 goals is pretty pants, to be honest, especially in that league.
Farmers League, yeah.
Mm.
So I guess that settles it then. Ronaldo is better than Messi.
Well, do you know what? He probably is now. I don't think I'd argue that. But of all time, I'll still go Messi.
Of all time? Yeah.
Well, of our generation, we'll say. I think he was better than Ronaldo.
Here, ours is the only one that matters anyway. So.
That's it's it. True. Sure, yeah, I never saw Maradona play. That could have been, he could be total fiction.
For all we know. Don't know if any of it happened.
No. Nope. We only, like, the only time we've seen Pele is like with a walking stick. So I don't really believe he was good at football. So I haven't seen him any other way.
That's it. Mm. Sure, the world began in 1991.
It did.
Before actually. There, it didn't count.
That's true.
Yeah. You're dead Ali, right. Who?
Did he win a World Cup?
Probably. Yeah. All right.
We leave it there.
I think that's it.
We've Happy got out.
Some good stuff. And the next time we record, Liverpool will have won the league.
With any luck.
Up the fucking Palace.
Come on, Liverpool.
The Vieira Revolution.
Yeah. I've always believed in Klopp. I have.
Yeah. Didn't. Yeah. Tuchel's shit.
To be fair, I've always said that and I will die by it. I don't care what he wins, what he does. He doesn't know. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
You got a tattoo of it back in 2008, you were that confident.
Yeah. When he was laying out
still playing
cones, yeah. When he was player manager at Kaiserslautern.
You always said it.
The Bavarian Regional League. I was tuning in every night. Fucking this guy's shite.
Yeah, never
and imagine me watching him through the years and constantly winning things and moving to higher jobs.
No. That'll be what you say on your deathbed. You'll be like whispering something. They'll be like,
I still don't rate Tuchel.
He's saying Tuchel shite.
Yeah, yeah. President Tuchel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, no. I'm coming. I'm like, I'm just hanging in there, and this one just walks in. Thomas Tuchel has won the Nobel Peace Prize. He's gone.
Flatlined.
The machine just explodes.
Oh, very good.
Right.
All right. Sayonara.
May it arise to meet you.
Up the Palace.
Up the Palace.
You've been listening to the Put 'Em Under Pressure podcast. For more of our content, make sure that you follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and Facebook. Outro music.